Father, how we thank you this morning for that incredible truth that you love us that much, that our sin, our debt can be completely erased by the blood of your Son, Jesus. And the Lord, we were not deserving of that. We're not worthy of that. Did nothing to earn it. You gave it freely. But Lord, you called us to live in that grace and in that freedom. So Lord, I pray if there's a person this morning that has never found that grace and that freedom, never found their sin debt has been paid and erased, that today they would come to know that freedom that comes from you. And we can experience that jailbreak, if you will, in our own lives spiritually. And we can run to you and rest in your love, rest in your grace. Father, thank you for being and giving your Son to be the Lamb of God that would take away the sin of the world. Lord, we are mindful about our world and, Lord, the times of the days that we live in with, again, economic uncertainty, and we see things happening that affects our world in all kinds of ways. Lord, we turn and we rest in the God who is in control of all things. And so as a believer, as a child of God, our hearts can be at rest this morning because we know that you have us in your hands. We do pray, Lord, for those that are affected today around our country and even around our world, God, that we would see this thing arrested and stopped. And we'll be able to move about and do the things we want to be able to do. And Father, mission trips will be able to happen and things that have been postponed will be able to happen, Lord, so that people could hear the good news of Jesus Christ. God, I pray this morning as we dive into your word that you would help us to uncover the truths you want us to hear this morning as we end this, Father, this 9 and almost 10 week journey together as a church family, looking at these important principles from God's word. And we're excited to see, Lord, as we stop and celebrate today what has happened, and God, what we believe will continue to happen in the days and weeks and months and even years ahead. As lives are transformed, as debt is erased, as freedom comes and allows us to do this last step today, to be people who are radically generous with the things that you have blessed us with. God, thank you that you weren't stingy with your love. Thank you that you were radically generous beyond the greatest gift ever given of your Son. God, move in these moments as we stop and dive into your word today. And as we come to a time of invitation, a few moments together, we respond to the truths that you would have for us. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen. Thank you. You may be seated this morning. As you're being seated, if you'd do me two favors or two things. One, take that message outline that's in your worship guide. Take that out and you can follow along here on the screen. We also have the Bible app. You can use that as well online if you choose to follow that way. And also, if you're a guest this morning, I got to talking about the coronavirus. It got me tickled, and so I got off track. But there is a connection card there in the seat in front of you if you want to fill that out. If you would do that, if you're a guest this morning, fill it out. Place it in the basket, and when it's passed during our offering time at the end of our service, we'd be so grateful if you would take time to do that this morning. But we are ending a series, and it's kind of an odd day to do that. It's Time Change Sunday. Usually this is Spring Break Sunday, and Time Change Sunday always collide together, which always is a great combination for a Sunday. But that's not the case today. Spring Break's next week, but it is Time Change Sunday, so I'm glad you're here. But we want to stop and pause and just kind of talk about kind of where we've been and just celebrate what God has done over these last 9 weeks. We've been going through financial peace, and really 10 weeks. We really began this series on the first Sunday in January together, this idea of worth it, that he is, that they are, and that you are. That he is worth it, that they are worth it, and that you are worth it. And what we've done in this journey together is go through this Financial Peace University. It's called Dave Ramsey. And what is cool about this is that really Dave Ramsey just kind of capitalizes on biblical truths that really help us think through something maybe different than we thought about it. But I don't know if you've seen this clip or not. It's from Saturday Night Live about, I don't know, maybe 15 years ago that Dave Ramsey was already around. But maybe they kind of did kind of Dave Ramsey simplified. Take a look at this and see if this might be helpful to you And maybe it sounds familiar to you this morning. Take a look. Oh,
I just can't get these numbers to add up.
Like we're never going to get out of this hole.
Credit card debt, does it ever end?
Maybe I can help. We sure could use it.
We've tried debt consolidation companies.
We've even taken out loans to help make payments.
Well, you're not the only ones. Did you know millions of Americans live with debt they cannot control? That's why I developed this unique new program for managing your debt. It's called Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford.
Huh. Let me see that. If you don't have any money, you should not buy anything. Hmm, sounds interesting.
Sounds confusing.
I don't know, honey. This makes a lot of sense. There's a whole section here on how to buy expensive things using money you save.
Give me that. And where would you get this saved money?
I tell you where and how in chapter 3.
Okay, but what if I want something but I don't have any money?
You don't buy it.
Well, let's say I don't have enough money to buy something. Should I buy it anyway?
No.
Now I'm really confused.
It's a little confusing at first.
Well, what if you have the money? Can you buy something?
Yes.
Now take the money away. Same story?
Nope. You shouldn't buy stuff when you don't have the money.
I think I got it. I buy something I want and then hope that I can pay for it, right?
No. You make sure you have money, then you buy it.
Oh, then you buy it. But shouldn't you buy it before you have the money?
No.
Why not?
It's in the book. It's only one page long. The advice is priceless, and the book is free.
Wow, I like the sound of that.
Yeah, we can put it on our credit card.
So get out of debt now. Write for your free copy of Don't Buy Stuff You Cannot Afford. And if you order now, you'll also receive Seriously, if you don't have the money, don't buy it, along with a 12-month subscription to Stop Buying Stuff magazine. So order today.
So you get the idea, right? We get the idea of this process that sometimes our culture, even the culture that sells advertising and television, is even telling you don't buy stuff, right? From the very place that provides advertisers that encourage you to buy stuff, right? But that's the crazy thing about it. But what I want you to know is we've seen over the last 9 weeks together that we've seen folks do things like pay off credit card debt. We've seen lots of folks actually cut up credit cards. Like, it actually happened in church. I mean, it was almost kind of cataclysmic, it felt like, walking into life groups and seeing people with scissors, like, cutting their credit cards. Somebody accidentally cut their debit card. They cut the wrong one, so that was a problem. But I think they got that fixed, no problem. That's an exciting thing to see, right? We've seen people said, hey, I've, for the first time in a really long time, or maybe ever, I've been able to save $1,000 that I've never saved before. That was the first baby step, right? The next one, people began to say, I began to pay off debt. I've heard folks say, hey, I've paid off a medical bill. I've paid off a car loan. Folks have said, I've started to pay down some student loans that I have. I've paid off a second mortgage. All kinds of stories we've been able to hear of celebration, of people actually putting into practice what we've been talking about, what we've been praying through. I've heard, funnily enough, people talk about where you're going out to eat after church, and some folks wanting nobody to see you that you're eating out to church, and some proudly saying, oh, it's in my fund money. You know, it's in my budget, right? Some of you have made budgets, right? For the very first time, you're actually living under a budget, and sometimes that's really cool, and sometimes that really stinks, right? Some of us have begun to go the process even beyond that point. Maybe you're at the point where you're saving the 3 to 6 months in savings, or you're working even towards retirement and talking about making investments that would help you, or your house mortgage, those kinds of things. And you begin to take these steps. This is all exciting things to see. I just wonder how many of you would say that you've been able to take at least one step. You don't have to tell me anything specific, right? Because the emails that have flooded my email inbox over the last 3 weeks have been extraordinary. I want you to tell you I've gotten absolutely none. Thank you for sharing those with me. I still would ask you, we would love to know. I'm not going to share your story. And sometimes we think, oh my gosh, what would somebody know if they knew I were in debt? Well, good news. Good news. I want to encourage you. Okay, out of the 75 families, out of the 120 that are actually doing financial peace that actually filled out that, there were only 3 people who didn't have any debt. So guess what? You're like everybody else in the room. You're not unique. What will people think? I'm in debt. A lot of us are in debt, right? That's the truth. That's the reality. That's why we did financial peace. That's why we did Worth It. We saw over $3 million of debt that people said, this is what I've got. So we want to share and encourage each other and say, I've made some steps. But how many of you just would say, I just want to say, I've been blessed by this. You've just done a budget. If some of you, if that's the first thing you've done, that's a step. But how many of you say, I've taken at least one step in the last 10 weeks? Raise your hand. I've taken one step. Praise the Lord, right? That's awesome. We want to see that continue. Now, here's what we know. We teach you this whole process, right? For some of us, it may take months to get out of debt. It may take a year or two. If you ever listen to the Dave Ramsey Show ever from here, you'll hear people in 18 months, some of the videos you saw, 18 months or 36 months, whatever the case may be, that it took me to pay down the debt depending on how much I had, right? But the reality is, what we want to see is that it can happen, that you can be set free from that bondage, from that slavery, from that weight that presses down on you, that affects your marriage, it affects your can affect your physical health. So we're excited to see what God has done. So we celebrate those things with you, and we rejoice in those things. That is exciting to see the lives are being changed. But if you do have time, I would love, and I promise you, I'm not going to share with anybody, but it would personally encourage me to know where you were and where God has taken you. That's worth celebrating, by the way. That's a church family that we can celebrate together, right? That doesn't mean you tell everybody all of your business. Nobody wants everybody to know all their business. I get that. But just to celebrate, this is what God has done in our lives over the last couple of months. One thing we've seen too in our church family, we've seen, and not that this is, we didn't really talk about generosity until today, but in the last 2 months, we've seen our giving over a year prior, January, February of the last year, and even further back than that, we've seen a 13% increase in giving in our church family, which that's exciting to see. That's exciting to see where we are and where God is going to take us. We want to see that grow and go further and farther. There's no question about that. But we are rejoicing in what we see God already beginning to do in our lives. Now, we talked about 5 weeks ago, we began this last part of this series, 5 characteristics of a church that is living in financial peace, that those that make up that body are living in financial peace, and that corporately as a church body, that we are people who are walking in financial peace. And what were those 5 things we talked about? The first one was we're learning, right, to trust God completely, to live from a place of contentment. That we learn to be in a place of contentment. Secondly, we talked about that we learn to save money consistently for harvest or for famine. That we live in a place where we are prepared for the emergencies that life will bring. We talked about weeks ago that 78% of people in the next 10 years will have some kind of crisis in their life that will be a financial crisis. And that you would be prepared for those things and it wouldn't cause you to go into debt and into having to borrow money and put it on credit cards, those kinds of things. And so we want to be people who are saving so that we have that peace of mind, that we know that we have that backup. Thirdly, we recognize God's ownership, that God owns everything, that God only calls us to be a steward of the resources that God has given us, each of us differently and individually, and that's different how he gives those to different people, right? But that we are called to be that steward to manage and to work those resources for the good of the kingdom of God. And then lastly, we talked about embracing our God-given mission. I want to encourage you, if you are not here last Sunday, I want to encourage you, go to our website, go to our Facebook page or Twitter, Instagram, and click on the link to hear last Sunday's sermon. It was encouraging, it was exciting to see as we talked about what God has done the last 20 years, and then really narrowed in on the last 10 years of the things that God has done as we've begun to embrace our God-given mission and the things that God has done and continues to do in the midst of Petal First Baptist Church. But a church that's looking at financial peace is embracing its mission, embracing its God-given mission to make an impact in its community. And we do that by talking about this idea, what if everybody in our church was out of debt? What if our church was out of debt? We talked about this reality of the $12,500 monthly payment. So we as a church corporately want to see us out of that debt. We want to do the Financial Peace University for Petal First Baptist, right? To see that thing paid off. And what's been beautiful the last couple of years, before we had to try to rely on extra money outside of that, in the last several years, we've been able to bring that entire payment into our church ministry plan giving. So we didn't have to do the extra. And then the extra we're able to do then allows us to finish the space that we're seeing happen and Outlive Your Life Phase 2. So we see those things happening, but we want to go further and farther in that. And then lastly this morning, I want to touch on what a lot of you did in life groups this morning and just talk about 4 brief things that we want to talk about, this idea of living a life of radical generosity. Living a life of radical generosity. I want you to know, I've never, that I can remember, hardly ever meeting a person that would ever say this statement. You know what? my goal in life is to be the most selfish person I could possibly be. I want everything for myself. I don't want anything for anybody else. I want to hoard everything that I have, and I don't want to ever give anything to anybody else. Now, maybe you've met somebody like that. Maybe there's one or two people in your life that you've met or like that. But by and large, I really believe most people down deep, because I believe this is one of the ways God wired us, we are selfish by nature. But I also believe many of us are generous by nature. That this idea of radical generosity really isn't that radical after all. Look in your Bibles in Acts chapter 20. If you want to just read these words from the Apostle Paul as he is leaving from Ephesus and giving these words of encouragement and talking to this idea of radical generosity. I'm going to share four truths with you, and then I'm going to talk about the six financial peace commitments we want to make at the very, very end. Here's what it says beginning in verse number 32. And now I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you the inheritance among all those who are sanctified. I have coveted no one's silver or gold or clothes. You yourselves know that these hands ministered to my own need and to the men who were with me. In everything I showed you that I would work, I was working harder in this manner. You must help the weak and remember the words of the Lord Jesus that he himself said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. And when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all. It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, I want you to think back in your life for just a moment. And there's no doubt there's some moments in your life where you received something that was a big deal, right? Maybe as a teenager, it was your, or as a young adult, it was your first car, right? Maybe it was your first pair of Air Jordans back in the day, you know? Maybe it was your first Coach purse, maybe. I don't know what it might be for you, right? But down from those moments, was there ever a moment where there was this incredible moment you went to somebody and you cried and you told them, the angels were rejoicing today because I got this new car, right? There was maybe some excitement. There was some sort of enthusiasm in your heart and your life. But can you think back in your mind of a moment when you were generous that you did know the angels were rejoicing? Those moments can stick out in our mind. My mom and I were talking, and I've shared this story before, but maybe you've never heard it before. There was a moment that I can remember in my life as a young kid, and God just puts certain things in us at certain seasons of our life, but I'd gotten a new watch. It wasn't a very expensive watch, I don't think, but it was a watch, and somewhere my mom and dad, we had gone to McDonald's to eat after church on Sunday. It was a big luxury deal, and it was probably like McDonald's had been around in Jackson too long, and I was a young kid, I don't know how old I was, 7, 8 years old, something like that, and we went to McDonald's, and there was a guy that was there that seemed to be homeless, or he was very unkept and had not had a bath in a while, and I don't know if my dad did it or if my mom told my dad that he was going to do it. I'm not sure how that all worked out, but anyway, he decided they were going to buy him some lunch. So we bought him lunch. I think he actually sat with us at the table, if my mind serves me correctly, and we got through, and he needed a ride. It was pouring down rain that day. If you remember, that's pouring down rain. And my dad and mom decided they're going to take him. He needed a bus ride, but he needed somewhere to stay that night before he got on the bus the next day. So he said, can you take me down to the Salvation Army, which was downtown Jackson. So we left where we were, which is where we had just been at church. We went all the way back downtown. And I don't know, I have no clue what got in me and why I thought this was going to be the case. But I began to get this feeling of this man needs a watch. Now, why this man in my 8-year-old mind, I thought this guy needed a watch. This man needed a lot of money. He did not need a watch, but I thought in my mind he needed a watch. And I can remember this feeling welling up inside of me like I need to give this man this watch. But I'm beginning to think to myself, my mom and dad are going to tell me no. That's what I begin to think. You can't do that. Don't do that. But I begin to try to process this plan, right? And so we're driving back down the interstate, down I-55. We get off at the North State Street exit, or President Street exit, whatever it is. We get off, and we kind of head towards downtown. We get closer, and it's raining a lot, you know, and I'd already begun to loosen my watch. I didn't know what my plan was going to be, but I knew I had to give this man my watch. And so I was nervous. It makes me nervous just thinking about it right now. I was nervous. I couldn't think about what I needed to do. And so my dad gets out of the car and begins to take the guy down to the Salvation Army because they couldn't park right in front of it. And so I just that moment, that burst of energy, and I shot out the door like a rocket. And I ran after the guy. I didn't know what I said, like, here, you need my watch. You know, I was like, this is the greatest. I was like so excited. And my dad said, son, you can't give him your watch. And I'm like, whoa. I'm like sobbing. I am devastated, you know. probably in hindsight, if my dad would do it over again, he probably would let me give the guy the watch, right? You need the watch. He doesn't need the watch. And try to explain it to me. I was devastated. But I remember the moment vividly. I can't tell you the first time I got a new pair of tennis shoes or the new pair of blue jeans that I got as a kid, but I can tell you a moment in my life, and others like that, where God gave me the tremendous privilege and opportunity to be generous and bless somebody else. You see, there's a unique thing that is very different than when we get something, than when we're able to give something. God has wired us to want to be able to give, to bless other people. There's a deep sense of satisfaction, a sense of fulfillment, if you will, that people were blown away by your generosity. Maybe you did it anonymously. They don't even know you did it, but it didn't matter because the reality is you're the one, and you will say this when you get this phrase, the one who gives is far more blessed than the one who receives. If you've ever done that, you know what I'm talking about. And I don't just mean maybe individuals, but even as you give to the work of the church. I'll never forget the very first time that I was blessed to be able to go to China on a mission trip years and years ago, back in 1999, over 20 years ago. That's hard to imagine. 20 years ago. And I had heard stories as a kid about, we had missionaries come and speak, and they some of y'all remember a slide projector. Do y'all remember those things called a slide projector? Like, my children have no idea what a slide projector is, but you adults, right? And the missionaries would come, and they would dress up in their garb, and they would show, and this is what almost every presentation missionary would be like this. This is us in our missionary garb. This is us with the people. This is us eating with the people. This is us talking the Bible about people. It was just like, I was just like bored out of my brain. I was like, this is crazy. But I knew my parents told us we got to give. We got to give to cooperative program. We got to give to Annie Armstrong, Lottie Moon, right? And I even as a young adult and as church staff, I would dread sometimes. Oh boy, it's Lottie Moon season. Oh boy, here we go. It's like 4 weeks of videos, people talking about the missionaries coming. I just never got it. But I'll never forget the moment. I will never, and I'd given all those times and given sacrificially because I knew that's what I needed to do and I knew it was the right thing to do, but I didn't know why. But I got on an airplane and I flew halfway around the world. I got sick as a dog on the airplane on the way over. I made so sick. I got a stomach virus that all my youth group had gotten back that was at home and the mission trip, they were leaving. And so I'm 40,000 feet over the air wanting to die and go see my mama. That's all I really wanted to do at that point at 25. And so I'm sick as a dog. We land, and I kind of come out of the fog 2 days later. We're driving down this road. We're driving like 100 and something miles an hour. We were driving fast in a police escort. We're driving down this road, and I kind of come out of this fog, if you will, and I look out to either side of me, and I see these ladies in these rice fields. And I got this missionary in the back seat with us, and all of a sudden, in an instant, it is as if the God of the universe just said, this is what you've been listening to and watching and giving to, and now you're going to see it for the very first time. And all of a sudden, this idea of being generous, I couldn't be generous enough. I couldn't seem that I didn't want to go enough. Why? Because my life was impacted by understanding that when we give, even though we may never see the effect of it, is something that is so self-satisfying and a God-given satisfaction when we actually give. But then we ask the question, why don't we do it more often? Why are we not more generous? Well, I think there's three reasons. Sometimes we don't feel like we have enough that we can give. We worry about the amount, right? Well, as an 8-year-old kid, I didn't have any money. All I had was a watch. The guy didn't need a watch. But in my mind, as an 8-year-old kid, I think he needs my watch. So we're called not to give based off what we have, but based off what we can give. Secondly, we've seen the message abused, right? People talk about giving and, you know, if you give this amount of money, God's going to bless you and all those kinds of things. But sometimes we live in the scarcity mindset instead of the abundant mindset, right? I'm not going to have enough. I'm going to kind of be in the hole. We've got to retrain our minds to understand that it is more blessed to give than it is to receive. Proverbs 11, 24 to 25 says this, the world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. The one who blesses others is abundantly blessed. Now, we know that principle. Most of us get that. Most of us start saying, well, that's just ridiculous. I don't believe that's true. We know it's true. How do we do it? Four things quickly. Number one, four things. Number one, we have to learn to, first of all, trust God with the tithe. Giving 101, radical generosity, is to learn to begin to trust God with the tithe. And what do we mean by that, trusting God with the tithe? What is that tithe? It's a 10%, right? It's an Old Testament concept that Jesus brought into the New Testament that is giving a tenth, a portion back to the Lord. There's a lot that I could talk about. The biblical part of it, Leviticus chapter 27, talks about this idea. If you get $100, the first $10 of that is God's, right? And that's not that we give it like, oh, it's God's. It is God's. Remember number three of our living in financial peace is understanding that it is God who owns it all. We don't even own the 10%, much less the other 90%. That God owns it all. We're called to manage that and steward those resources, but that God calls us to give the 10%. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, it talks of this idea of bringing the whole tithe into the storehouse, right? This concept of understanding, he says, you bring it in, and if you'll test me and try me, that you'll prove. God says, I'll prove it to you. Church family, I just want you to know, and I'm not. This is just the truth. I've been a giver my whole life, and I've seen this biblical principle happen. And I've told you before, the pastor I served with years ago in Alabama, I simply said, I don't know how to explain it to you, so I just simply say this: my clothes last longer, my tires go a little bit further than they're supposed to, and the peanut butter seems to multiply. Just seems to last longer. See, it's a biblical principle, it's a true principle that if we'll give of that first 10%, God will bless what we give to Him and what we still have. God will bless it. Now, some even go and understand the concept further. My wife and I, in the first couple years of our marriage, we began to really pray this idea about giving. And was that really enough for us? Is that just the minimum? That was just the minimum that God gave. And so years ago, we decided that we wanted to give more than that. Not so we can stand in front of our church and say, we give more, so you should give more. No, it was a personal conviction from the Lord that we wanted to give more. We wanted to do that. It was the privilege that we had. We felt called by the Lord to do that. But in order to do that, sometimes we begin to think, well, you know what? In order for me to do that, I'm going to have to like completely rearrange my life and my finances. And my encouragement to you is, that's not a bad thing. As a matter of fact, that's what God calls you. Matthew 6:33 says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then what happens? Then all these things get added to you. We seek first His kingdom. We're seeking God first in the week with an act of worship to give. It's a joy that we get to give. Yes, we rearrange, but it's for the good. It's for the better. Jesus talked about in Matthew 23:23 that we are called to give and even to tithe. God will bless us in ways that we never even imagined. That trip I told you I went to China, I had only mentioned to a few people I was talking about going to China. I was a single guy, I didn't have the money, which requires over $2,000 to go to China. And I wasn't even convinced I really wanted to go. I had never been out of the country before, never, ever, ever, ever. Didn't even know what it meant to go out of the country. I had never heard the word, Melanie, jet lag, ever. Nobody explained jet lag to me. That would have been a really helpful concept for somebody to explain to me before I got on an airplane and went halfway around the world and was awake at 1 o'clock in the morning and didn't know why. But I didn't know if I really wanted to go, honestly, just speaking in the flesh. But I mentioned it, and before I knew it, the pastor came to me and said, hey, good news. I said, what? He said, you're going to China. And I'm like, oh, I hadn't even got my passport yet. I'm not sure. On the spirit side, I'm like, I'm going to go to China. The flesh was like, I don't want to go to China, right? I don't know about this culture. I don't know about these people, and I sure as heck don't know what I'm going to eat. I don't eat half American food, and I do not eat any kind of Chinese food of any kind. I'm going to starve to death. So I don't know what I was going to do. I said, somebody felt led by the Lord to pay for your entire way to go. Now, what do you make the connection? Here's what I believe. God had blessed my faithfulness to give. I didn't have at that juncture in my life the $2,000 I needed to go. But listen, I want to tell you, that trip in 1999 forever changed my life. So when I go to a church, when God led me to my church in Alabama, we started missions. We started going on mission trips. When I came here, because I understand that's God's heart. But for us to do that, we have to be generous in order for those kinds of things to happen, for people to go, for people to be able to go, for international missionaries to go around the world, right? We know that it takes those resources. So I've got to start, in the first place, I've got to start at the 10%. Secondly, is I've got to learn to plan out my generosity. Now, how many of you are planners, and you probably are the budget nerds? You're the planners in your families. Raise your hand. I'm the planner in my family. Okay, raise your hand. Raise it high. Be proud. I'm with you on this one. I love to plan, right? How many of you, you are spontaneous, you are the life of the party, and to plan would be like absurd to you? And you look how fast, did y'all see how fast those hands went up? Watch the difference. Watch this now. Here's the planners. Here's the planners. Here's the spontaneity people. Church of God, me! A couple of them, both their hands went up. I'm spontaneous right here, right now. I'm ready to go. We want to go on a trip today? Let's go today. Coronavirus, who cares? Let's go anyway, right? That's spontaneous people, right? Now, we need spontaneous people, us planner people, because us planner people can be really boring people sometimes, right? Because I'm good about doing a vacation as long as we plan it. Down to the wire would be pretty helpful if I know what I'm doing every day. I kind of like that, you know? I'm a planner that way. Some of you, the idea of a plan is so absurd, you'd feel like you're in jail if you had to go on a vacation and plan it. I mean, that's ridiculous. Who ever heard of such? Where am I going to stay? I don't know. We're just going to find out when we get there. People like me, they're a planner, that gives me an ulcer. I have to know where I'm staying because I have to get the cheapest price possible because I'm cheap, right? You get the idea. But if I'm going to be generous, if I'm going to be radically generous, listen, it will not happen. Now, I love you, my spontaneous people. I really do. But it will not happen if you're being spontaneous. You will not accidentally fall into radical generosity. It just won't happen. You have to have a plan. That's the beauty of what we've done over these last 9 weeks is it allows you to develop a plan. It's why this is message 9 and not message number 1. Our heart's desire for our church family was to be set free from debt and get on a good financial course. And the last part of that process was for you to be able to be financially generous with the things that God has given you. But in order to do that, you got to have a plan. I've got a process plan. I got to know how I'm going to go about doing that particular thing, right? Some of you, when you Christmas shop, right? For some of you, you've already, you planner people, right? You planner people, you've already thought about Christmas for 2020. God bless you. Now, I'm not that far out for planning, okay? I'm not that good, right? My wife will begin to think about it in probably midsummer. She'll start saying, oh, man, Christmas is coming. I'm like, baby, it's 112 degrees outside. I mean, why are we thinking about Christmas? We're going to think about Christmas, right? So we got to think about those sales that are coming, right? So she plans. She charts it out. She's like, we're going to do this and do this and do this. Here's this sale. Some of you are spontaneous, right? You think about shopping on December 23rd, right? Now, here's the problem with that in our giving. You can do that in a lot of areas in your life, but in giving, we won't have enough. We'll have run out. We'll have not thought through the process far enough to know, how can I give more? Isaiah 32 verse 8 says, generous plan to do what is generous. They stand firm in their generosity. So a lot of you now live your life phase 2, and you're beginning to see the processes of these things begin to take place, and we're still working behind the scenes to get these next projects kicked off and rolling out. But some of you, in order to do Outlive Your Life phase 2, you had to make a plan. If you're going to give, like some of you a couple years back, you signed a commitment card almost a year ago, last Sunday, said, I'm going to give this amount every month in order to see these projects completed above and beyond my regular tithes and offerings. But you can't do that just haphazardly if you're going to really do it and stick to it. You've got to have a plan to do that. That's biblical. Thirdly, we got to simply start being generous right where we are. So I think Ramsey would challenge you that you don't wait to be generous until you get out of debt. You start being generous when? When? Now. Now, I want to talk to you about how you might do that, because when some of us come to know Christ, if you're an adult in particular, and then some preacher stands up and says, oh, by the way, you came to know Christ, now God gets 10% of your paycheck. All of a sudden, people go, do what? Hello? How about no? I don't understand that. Why would I do that? I mean, it almost makes no sense. For those who've grown up in church, it doesn't catch us off guard much. But if you've never grown up in church, all of a sudden you hear this phrase, oh, you gotta give 10%. Now, we get the idea of being generous. We just don't know what that always necessarily looks like. But the idea is you start where you are now. That you don't wait, because here's what we know is the truth. If I say, well, I'll do it at some point, right? Ladies, let me ask you a question. Now, this is going to throw myself under the bus. I know it. Ladies, how many of you have I shouldn't even say this. The men are going to kill me. Oh, well, who cares? How many of you ladies would say that you've asked your husbands to do something in the last couple of weeks or months, and they said what? Ladies, go ahead. Here's your chance. It's not Father's Day. Go ahead. Come on, ladies. What? This is your chance, ladies. Come on. Don't miss it. What? He'll get it in a minute, right? I'll do it later, right? I'll get to it when I have time. Now, ladies, do you think your husbands really mean that? They really do want to do it. Oh, stop. That's not fair. Y'all are wrong. Yes, they do want to do it. You know why they'll do it? Because they want to make you happy if you not to ask them again. So the answer is yes, they do. Then you're saying, well, then why don't they do it? Because we're men and we're just dumb sometimes, okay? But here's the truth. You don't have to amen that either. Thank you very much. So you get the idea here, right? In order for me to do this, I've got to start being generous right now. I can't say, well, I'll do it later, because later means typically, when is it going to happen? Never. It's just the truth. Well, I'm going to do this one day. I'm going to go here one day. I'm going to do this with my kids one day, and one day never comes. And so the call this morning is to start being generous right where you are right now. Philemon 1 verse 6 says this, I'm praying that you will do what? That you will put into action the generosity that comes from your faith as you understand and experience all the good things that we have in Christ. One of the things our church has been doing for quite some time, and sometimes people think that you're crazy to do these kinds of things, our church has been in debt for many years to get this building where it is. When we got here in 2012, I mentioned this last week, we were given only 3% of the cooperative program we were giving to forward on for missions and other things in our convention. Now we're up to 9%. We've increased 6%. We've gone from giving about $7,000 to almost $53,000. Now some would say, well listen, why don't you pay off the debt quicker and keep that for yourself? Don't think that didn't cross the preacher's mind. We've given money to other ministries because our goal has been to get money outside these four walls. So we went from giving maybe 3 or 4% of our resources in this church to now we're giving 20 to 25% of our resources are going out the door. Our friends here at Mount Vernon, their church building was damaged twice by a tornado, two different times. We made a significant financial contribution to them. Why? Because we believe this principle is you start being generous when? Now. Now. Now, how do we do that? This is really helpful for me, and I hope it would be helpful for you. I don't know if we got the map pulled up, Michael, if you can find that thing, but the generosity letter. It's on your outline. You do have it. Great. Thank you, Michael. How do we do that? How do we get to a place where we can be generous? Because to be generous right now, for some of us, if I told you, in the middle of all this, and all your budget and all this other stuff, by the way, not only got to save and pay your debt off, you got 10% you haven't been doing maybe, you got to start adding that in. And people are like, holy mackerel, I cannot do all that. So this is a great idea to think through this process. How do we do that? Well, a lot of times we need to take it in steps and increments. We'll start being generous now. How do I do that? The encouragement is this, is take the next step up what is called the generosity ladder. A lot of people, there's no way you can go from 0 to 10. Now, some of you can, and that's great. If you are able to do that and want to do that, then I commend you and go for it and do it. But a lot of us, we feel guilted, and so we never do it because we think the 10% I can never get there. So how do we do that? Here's how we do it. We just begin to be a first-time giver. To be generous now for somebody in the room might be for the very first time to put something in an offering basket to the Lord or to be generous to somebody else. Now, I want to encourage you to start with the church first. That's your primary calling, is to give the church ministry plan. That's your primary, as a believer in Jesus Christ, to give to the local church, to the local ministry plan, or often called budget, whatever word you want to use for it. That's our first calling. We do that before we do anything else, before you give to Outlive Your Life, before you give to GoFund, before you give to outside community ministries. We give that first 10% here. So maybe for some of us, the very first step is just for the very first time, next week, next month, I'm going to give something. And I'm going to tell you something. When you do it, if you've never done it before, it's going to be a great moment for you. You're going to take in a step in your walk with the Lord of seeking first the kingdom of God that you've never done before. You may have surrendered this area of your life and this area, but you haven't surrendered this particular area. And God's going to begin to bless you as you do that. Then you take the next step up. Some of you go, well, I've already given before. That's not a big deal. But maybe you become an occasional giver. You don't give consistently, but I give a couple of times a year. I'm going to start doing that, where I give and I've got some extra money. Maybe you're looking at it that way, and I want to give some more money. The third step to take up is I want to become intentional, right? I want to give consistently, but I'm not quite at the 10% level. So maybe you start, maybe a lot of you could probably start at the intentional level. I want to give it 3 or 4%, something like that. I want to begin the process to work my way in that direction so that I'm working that way. So I'm not saying I'm going to do it next year, next century. We're going to do it in this year. We're going to begin to make this incremental steps in the process. Then we give that fourth step. Maybe some of you are already giving intentionally, but you know, as you look at what God has given you, that I'm not giving that point of tithing. And some of you, I know it bothers you and it worries you. And what we've, remember, what we've talked about in this whole process, a lot of us struggle to tithe because we're into debt up into our eyeballs. And so what we've wanted to see you to understand is, we want to see you freed up so that you can be able to give. To give as you want to be able to give. But it's hard to do when you don't have the resources to do that. So that's the beauty of this whole process that I believe God's worked us through together, is to see this clear picture that we want to get to the spot where we're tithing. And then some of you get to the spot where you're doing extravagant giving, where you go above and beyond that. So you're giving your tithe, but then you give to the mission offerings, and you don't just give $20, you give extravagantly. The call and the giving of giving extravagantly, radical generosity, means that we give sacrificially. It means like what some of you have done over these last month or two to try to get into your budget, right? It means you didn't get to go out to eat the time you wanted to go out to eat. You finished up that budget line and going, oh, it's out. And all the kids give you this horrible, wretched look. But I want McDonald's chicken nuggets. I'm sorry, you're going to have to eat the frozen Tyson ones. Sorry, at home, right? Those are hard decisions. Those are hard things to make. But in the end, guess what? It's worth it. It's worth it. To be able to know that you're making a difference. Again, back to that Proverbs 11, 24, 25, one more time. Some people spend their money freely, still others grow richer. Others are cautious and yet grow poor. Be generous and you'll be prosperous. Help others, and you will be helped. I want to wrap it up with this morning. Those four steps of how am I radically generous? By the way, this is a part of our vision frame. Part of our vision frame of what makes up Petal First Baptist Church. One of our motives, we believe, is a call to invest over consuming. We have a lot of consumers in the church world and in Christianity who love to come and take but give little. But one of the things we really want to believe, that we say we believe corporately together as a body of Christ, we believe is we're called to invest our lives and our resources over just consuming them. And then one of the marks, the measures, how do we know if we're hitting our mission statement, our mission calling from the Lord, is how am I living faithfully? That's the question to ask ourselves this morning. How am I living faithfully with the resources that God has blessed me with? Now, here's where we wrap up this morning. Six statements I want us to see. We're not going to make you sign a pledge card. We're not asking you to sign anything. I just want us to read these six statements together, one at a time. A scripture verse that goes with each of them that will say, this is what we're saying together. From this point forward in our lives, no matter where you are in the baby steps of that financial piece or whatever process you might be using to get you to the place where you're in financial freedom, that I want to make these six commitments, okay? Let's look at them together, this financial peace commitment. Number one says this, let's read it together. I will acknowledge daily that 100% of my resources belong to God. Now, good, half of you read that, and the ones that did read it so sadly. I will give God 100% of my resources. I know you're sleepy, but wake up for just a minute. I'm almost done, all right? Let's read it together like we're excited about it, all right? Can we do that? I will acknowledge daily that 100% of my resources belong to God. See, why did I say that loud? Because we need to hear it, what we're saying. God, I acknowledge to you, that's my commitment, that 100% of what I have came from you. It is yours. Psalm 24, verse 1, the earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. Commitment number two, let's say it together. I will assign every dollar a name in a monthly budget and spend my money on paper on purpose before the month begins. Doesn't that sound so exciting? Aren't you glad you came to church today? You just made a commitment to make a budget. Some of you are going, oh, you spontaneous people, this caused you to have like fits, right? It's going to help. It's going to help you. The scripture says, Luke 14:28, suppose one of you wants to build a tower, will he not first sit down and estimate the cost to see if he has enough money to complete it? Before you go and buy this particular something, do you have enough to make that happen? Again, I referenced that earlier video. If you don't have money, don't buy it, right? We need to know, I've got to have a budget, I've got to live within these categories so that I can get to the place where I need to be and I want to be. Thirdly, third commitment, let's say it together. I will eliminate all debt from my life and live debt-free from now on. All right, you know what that means? You just said. That means when that awesome sale, TV sale comes on, right? And that lady bobs her head about the furniture commercial. Yeah, I know what I'm talking about, don't you? She bobs her head about this. You're going to come buy some furniture for her, and it's like 0% interest down, and you don't have to pay for 5 years, and it's going to be perfect. Come buy it. Okay, that's, guess what, though? Guess what that puts you in? Debt. You're going to pay cash, or you pay with your debit card that has the cash to back up the debit card. Okay, we pay cash. But I need it today. If you don't have the money, you can't have it today. We have to practice this hard thing called waiting. Proverbs 22:7, the rich rule over the poor, and the borrower is a slave to the lender. Commitment number four, let's read this together. I will train my children to handle money God's way. Our kiddos have been going through financial peace on their level, gave us opportunity to have a conversation with them. Our teenagers have been through the teenage version of it, and then our juniors and seniors, our seniors have been able to go through the adult version, if you will. We want to make a commitment, church, to teach your children. I mentioned to you a few weeks ago how my dad tried to create a budget because my mom told him that's what he needed to do, so that's what he did. But we never really kind of lived by it, and I never really hardly ever balanced my checkbook. And when he'd asked me, I knew that mom had asked him to ask me, had I kept up? This is funny stuff. My mom's here today. did I keep my budget up? And I was like, I'm sort of, kind of, what's in your checkbook? I need to call the bank and ask him. I'm not exactly sure, right? My dad tried, mom tried to help us with those principles, but teaching your kids, this is how you save money. This is how you don't spend money. This is how you, we teach them the processes of tithing and understand the biblical responsibility, right? I was 5 years old, I gave my very first sermon in church, 5 years old. You remember this, mom? I sat on my dad's knee on the steps right there, and the preacher was going to interview me, and my dad was there, and my dad says, the preacher says, Well, Brad, this was like, we had practiced this, like verbatim what I was supposed to say, okay? Because everybody knew, dangerous to put a microphone in front of a five-year-old, right? Here's what he says. Why do you give? Because my dad told me I had to. That's what I told him. Okay, now on the front side for a five-year-old, is that a bad thing? No, because you know what it taught me? It taught me a principle that I never forgot. We got to a building campaign in our own church when I was in the early 80s. It's a pink envelope. I still remember them. When it came time for us to discuss giving to the church building campaign, my mom and dad had to sit down and say to me, well, you're going to have to do this. I went on my own as a teenager and said, I began to pray, God, what do I need to give? What do I want to give? Because it instilled in me, instill in your children this idea that breaks for some a generational curse of living beyond what you have and teach them what financial freedom is about. That Proverbs 13:22 is true. In Proverbs 22:6, it says, train a child in the way he should go. When he's old, he will not turn from it. Commitment number five, the last two as we close. Let's read it together. I will save and invest my money, building wealth slowly through consistent, wise decisions. It takes time. It doesn't happen quickly, does it? It just takes time. It's hard for us. We're not very patient people. We live in a microwave society. I need it yesterday, not today, not even tomorrow, but last week would be even better. We have to take time to do it. The last principle, number six. I will give a tithe of my income back to God, trusting Him to meet my daily needs. In Malachi 3:10, we read a moment ago. Here's the question. Do we really trust God? If God says to you, if you give, I will bless you. Can we really take God at face value? For some of us, one of the most difficult but exciting steps for some of you to take is to step out like way over the ledge and say, God, I'm going to trust you that what you promise is true. And there are many of you who could come on this stage, or I could bring the microphone to you, and you would simply testify and say, I have seen it happen in my life over and over and over again. Some of the smiles I look across and I see, and you nod your head because you've seen it. I pray we make these commitments together. This is only the beginning of the journey. We're going to continue to talk about this over the rest of this year together and remind ourselves of these truths from time to time, because some of you might get weary and tired about 6 or 8 weeks from now and go, it's not worth it, I'm just going to quit. We want to remind you, it's worth it. He is, they are, your family and those who don't know Christ and your church family. And you, friend, are worth it in God's eyes to be the person He desires for you to be in Jesus Christ. Let's pray together. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity to dive into your word once again and to see these principles so clearly laid out for us. And God, I thank you for the privilege to share these words without any hesitation or any worry or concern as we've been talking about money over these last 10 weeks together. Begin to understand, discover new truths about ourselves, about how we've spent things, the patterns that we've learned or inherited from our families. And Lord, how we can live and walk differently in freedom. God, I pray over these last 10 weeks, we've learned that it is worth it to follow you. That God, that you will bless us. Bless us far beyond our wildest imaginations so that we can be generous. So God, help us to take these steps. I pray for some this morning, Lord, as we just come to this time of invitation. They just need to make some specific commitments, maybe about this financial issue, to stay the course. Maybe to grab their spouse and come to this altar and say, I want to stay on this course. We're gonna hang with it. God, we're going to pray that God will help us stay on this journey. We can get to a place of financial freedom. Maybe for some this morning, even more importantly, you don't know Christ as Savior and Lord. As we prayed a moment earlier at the beginning of our time together, that you've never understood the incredible price that was paid for you on Calvary's cross. And the day that you would be willing to come and admit to God that you're a sinner, that you've missed the mark of perfection, that you want to ask him to forgive you of all of your sins, past, present, and future. Bring those to him. To believe that he's the Son of God who loved you and gave his life for you, who came and lived a perfect, sinless life, but died your sinner's death and mine. As we'll celebrate about an Easter in a few weeks, he rose again from the dead, so you don't have to fear death either. You confess him as your Savior, commit your life to him as the Lord for the rest of your days. That you come this morning. For others, you've got some burdens and some things in your life, struggles and heartaches and pains that really have nothing to do with being generous. You really need God's generosity in your life just to be poured out on you this morning with his presence, with his forgiveness, with his mercy, with his faithfulness. Whatever it is, that maybe you need to come to this altar and say, God, I just need to cry out to you. Maybe it's to grab a friend and go to the altar with him and say, would you just pray over me? I need somebody to hear my name called out in prayer. Maybe it's to come and join this church family, what God's calling you to be a part of this church family. Maybe it's to commit your life to full-time ministry, that God's calling you to be a pastor, a missionary. Whether you're a teenager or an adult, that God's been speaking to your heart and you know it, that you'd answer that call that God has placed on your life. Lord, we give you these moments for whatever you want to do. I pray we'll be obedient to do them by the power of the name of Jesus. Maybe we shut out everything else around us for a moment, that we not leave and run to the nursery or run to the doors, but God, we would just hang tight right here and do business with you. The most important part of our service is seeking you first, the kingdom of God. And Lord, you would add all these other things unto us. God, move in these moments, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.